Okay.
The car build the talk. It was actually on the first project on the first day, but it was moved to this slot. Originally, there should be have been Idris Hamid here talking about the typesetting of Arabic and how we can improve the look and feel of paragraphs done in Arabic. And then I could tell a little bit about the technique behind. Well, one problem or handicap actually is that he is not here, so I'm missing an introduction on typesetting Arabic. And I cannot read Arabic myself. I can only make sure that it's somehow rendered okay. So it could be complete garbage that I'm showing. And nobody would notice. Or maybe you would notice, but I wouldn't notice. So what I will do is I will just stick to the general ideas of what we are doing and how we do, because it can give you a bit of an idea about the complications that we run into. The thing, if you talk about all this new font technology, the thing that I realized this week, we were discussing some Japanese issues. There has been talks that mentioned some Latin issues, and now we have this Arabic thing. Is that, you know, there is this sort of idea that we have LuaTeX, or maybe you can think of CTeX or whatever, and then you have these open type fonts, and you say, well, all problems are solved because we have open type fonts, and this font technology has all these wonderful things. All our problems are gone. Right, yeah, you can do this. The mess has just become bigger, yeah. The thing is that if you think of it, like, okay, let's start with Latin. In Latin you have, well, let's say basically alphabets. Some countries have a couple of more complex characters because they put accents and other things on top. And then you have these things like ligatures. Ligatures are basically, if you have an input, you say, okay, this sequence of characters has to be turned into another sequence of characters. There's actually no reason why that should be part of the font. Yeah, you could as well imagine that you have a typesetting engine that identifies these characters, combines them into ligatures. Okay, then you move on to, for instance, Arabic. And then you see that there's so much, let's say, logic in the font that basically you have a machinery that typeset it, that you can say, well, either you program a machinery that does all of this, or you, in the case of OpenType, depend completely on the font. So it's basically the other extreme. Everything is handled in the font. The typesetting engine only has to provide a little bit of information, but the font is doing it all. And if you move on to Japanese, for instance, all the typographic issues that were presented in the previous talks, nearly none of them, basically none of them, is solved in the font. Everything has to be solved in the engine. So there you have a situation where actually we could have solved a lot of things in OpenType, but somehow it didn't happen. Then there will be a talk about the index scripts later on. You have a similar problem. Somehow they could have put all the logic and solutions in the font, just as with Arabic, but for some reason, probably historical or whatever, it was decided that only part is solved in the font and part is solved in the engine. Which means that you basically end up, in the end, if you want to support all these scripts with, on the one hand, a complete font machinery that can handle a lot of complex things, on the other hand, some expectations about the engine being clever to deal with the specifics of a script. And is this somewhat hybrid mix of technologies that I, in retrospect, I think can say, okay, a lot was solved, but at the same time a lot of new mess was introduced. And okay, I didn't even start talking about Mars because that's a different thing, but you have similar things there. Either we solve everything in the font, in the Mars font, or we leave everything to the engine, and now we have something again in between. Some parts are solved in the engine, some in the machinery. Anyhow, surprisingly, when the Oriental Tech project started, the whole idea was, and that's one of the reasons why it also supported the LuaTech project, is that we thought that typesetting Arabic would involve a lot of adaptations to the machinery. Because, well, what was out there as a font, in many cases not really high-end solutions for typesetting Arabic. So the team in that specific sub-team, say Taco, Idris and me, I think, well, okay, we start with this font stuff because we need to get something visible. And after that we will have to do very tricky things with the engine to make sure that it finally looks like something good. But, however, at some point we reached the stage that we could render, and this was because it was a pretty complex font being used, quite well Arabic without adapting the engine at all. Apart from, of course, that the fact that you need to support the font machinery. However, because it was part of the project, we still decided to look if it was possible somehow to improve the look and feel of an Arabic text. You can compare this with the HZ and protrusion still present in PDFTech and LuaTech. Yeah. Tech can render a paragraph pretty well, and there's actually no reason to do a better job. But there is the feeling that you can improve it a bit by applying these expansion and protrusion features. Okay, but it's not. You can ask yourself the question if it's really always the needed and improving the things. Okay, so back to Arabic. What I can not tell very much about the language and how it works. I can only tell you about the fonts. If you look at this word, whatever it says, I think it's actually two words. You will see that there are several different renderings here. Yeah, and it's all the same word. So this is a, I would say, a more sequential rendering. Yeah, as we would do in Latin, you just put characters one after the other and apply some kerning to make it look okay. But it's basically a sequential thing.
These are not outline fonts?
Hmm?
These are not outline fonts?
Yes, they are outline fonts.
Sort of rug.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest, this is 800 by something pixels. Yeah. Okay. You cannot expect too much of that. If you blow them up, if you make them large, they will look quite okay. Right. It's... Okay, so what's the thing is that if you let's go back to this one. With this one, actually, if you compare them, if you look, for instance, keep an eye on this one. It's still there, yeah? But it's slightly different. And the other one moved on top. Actually, both moved on top. You see? And it takes less space. This is another variant, less recognizable, but it's still the same word, takes a bit more space. Here there's even more stacking going on, takes less space, but it's all the same thing.
How do you know?
Well, some people speak this language and can read it, and
told him that it's the same.
I told him that it's the same. You know, sometimes you have to believe. If we go to Bachotech and we see this Polish, we have to believe that it says that what you, because there's no, we cannot pronounce it anyway, so we cannot check it anyway. But in this kind, let's just for the moment believe what's there. So, let's see what happens here. I mentioned Latin, and say ligatures in Latin. Well, ligature in Latin is, compared to this, is trivial. Yeah, you see an F, you see an I, say, okay, do we have an FI? Let's turn it into an FI, you're done. There's one run over this list, and you're done. Yeah, doesn't work that like that in Arabic. Here you see that I've enabled a couple of features. Yeah, and I might blow it up a bit so that you can. So one of the things that the engine has to do, just believe me, yes, you can confirm it, that this is colored differently from this. And the coloring, in this case, is a kind of tracing, indicates that we are dealing with glyphs that start a word or end a word, or in the middle of a word, things like that. That's the sort of basic analysis that is needed before the machinery can kick in. So that's what the engine has to provide. Okay. Forget about all these nasty details. You can just keep an eye on these, on what happened there. So what we do is, the analyzer is on. Forget about that one. The language is set to the default and the script is set to Arabic. That's important. If the script isn't set to Arabic, you can forget about anything useful. There are hardly any features turned on, except that we want to, the MADI equals yes, for instance, that we want to indicate what are the mid, the beginning and end glyphs. And the marks. Marks are those tiny things that happen end up on top or below the words. Think of accents in Latin scripts, in Arabic scripts, they are the vowels basically. So all these marks, they end up on top of at the bottom, and you have to anchor them, so that feature is basically always on. But this is mostly sort of default feature set that we use. Okay, we get these characters. And each step something changes, you see. The first step, they are turned in completely different things. And we move on, yeah. And here they, this one, for instance, this one, this big thing there, is turned into that one.
Would you mind zooming a little? Thank you.
Step 5. Okay, this is basically, I think, where we end up. So this one has 5 steps, and then it ends up at the final result. So now we take the second example that we've shown, the one that is slightly more compact. Yeah. So I'll again zoom in so that you can. So this is the final result on top. So we start with the individual glyphs. Okay. Some other stuff gets swapped in. Yeah, and then suddenly we say, oh, okay, it's not already looking nice, but no way. We started messing it up again, because we are going to replace it with another one, a small one. And suddenly there's a stage there that it moves up. Yeah, stage 7. So in this case we need 7 steps to get this thing right. Now the only difference between the first and the second solution was that we added enabled a few more features. Okay, case C. Again, we start with the individual glyphs, a little bit of moving around. And in the beginning, you know, we always end up with this word. 7 step, 8 steps. So now we have 8 steps, and we have this one. As you see on the top, we suddenly have lots of more features here, yeah? That are being applied. And think of a feature, in this case, as some kind of
all of them are used, or they just turn on and not use it?
Well, they are turned on, but it depends, of course. You know, you need a bigger sample to have them all at some point doing something. But if you talk about the machinery, it means that, you know, in OpenType, it's like each of these thingies, these features, has a set of associated rules. And you have to check each rule if it applies. So here you're talking maybe at this moment already about 50 or 100 rules that are being applied to each character. So you can imagine how many runs you do over the list and how many runtime is needed.
Have you talked or asked Idris how many people can still read the last version of it? Is it a kind of calligraphy which is not commonly known to people?
No, actually it's quite well known. The whole thing with Arabic is that there's a sort of reference, and that's the Quran. And the typeset Quran is basically the typographic reference. So what he tries to achieve is finally that kind of typesetting. So I think given that they only have this one printed thing that nobody may change, I assume that most of the Arab people can read that kind of shapes. But
I think for most Arabic people this version looks correct and looks pleasing, and the others look like done by computers who can't do it properly.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, the thing is with these things, they have more height. And I can imagine that the other ones show up, for instance, on shop windows or in newspapers or where there are different constraints of doing it.
Yeah, but what I was pointing to is we also have old Bibles which carry the same content, perfectly painted, written with everything in it, and nearly nobody can read it.
But Arabic doesn't have the same history, so they don't have the printing tradition, and the whole script is based on calligraphy, and
they're trained for
technology
that, yeah.
Always tried to mimic that calligraphy. Also, that what people want to see is just that.
They're trained. You know, if you were trained from being a kid to now in reading that kind of Bibles, maybe even with... Yeah, if you don't read it, then you would definitely be able to do it, I think.
It is sufficient to try for some short time. You will find in some 15 minutes that you are able, in fact, to read. It's only a matter of to getting understand, but not so difficult.
Because think of this. This one doesn't need the vowels, but if you have vowels and you forget about the vowels, you add another level of complexity, isn't it? So you have the multi-interpret, you can interpret one combination of things in multiple ways, so you need even to be able to read it within the context and then apply basically automatically some additional things to it, so that you for sure take the... If you would take all the vowels out of German, would actually make the language much more compact, that would be... But I think it would take some time to get accustomed to it.
Book which makes comparison of Arabic and Latin script, like putting the vowels as accents on top.
Uh-huh. And could you read it?
Single words without the vowels, it's hard to determine which word is if there are cases of different words with different vowels. But in the context, you can read it. It's hard in the beginning,
but
nevertheless,
so
vowels help.
Yeah, okay, but
the structure of Arabic is certainly different because the consonants are giving the word group more or less. For example, KTB means something like to read or a book or reading or whatever. So Kitab is a book and Uktub is I'm reading. And KTB is always clear, it has something to do with books and reading. Of course, you can't tell from just KTB which does it mean, but then it depends.
It depends on the one, and they're trained for that. Yeah, so for them it's natural. So I guess that they can that the different representations they can read, but as you say, one of them is for them the benchmark, so to say. Probably the same for us. Yeah, if you have a document and you would read your novels in monospaced, yeah, you can still read them, yeah, but having them done in serif probably looks nicer to your eye, or maybe not. Yeah, okay, that would be something. Okay, second step, third step, fourth step, fifth step. And here you see, in order to go from one to the other, within this SS3 feature, just to answer your question, but he is not listening, it has three steps. This is one. SS3 is applied. It has three rules applied to this one word. Yeah, so there can be more than 8 steps. Here we have 9 steps, 10 steps.
Is there a maximum 11. Number of steps?
No.
Sometimes, no, there's no maximum. And sometimes you have, 25 steps.
Depending on the text, yeah.
Depending how many features you've turned on, and depending on the text.
Can it
loop? It shouldn't loop, no. The thing is, it's basically a long list of rules that are applied, so at the end you stop.
Yeah.
It's not like you cycle till you have something right.
Is there a dependence on sequence, or are the rules all independent?
No, they look at the surroundings. So, let's see if I can find one. Here. And this is replacing single by, yeah, this is a single replacement.
Yeah, but maybe if you apply it in a different sequence, that character would...
No, what often happens is that they say if this is in front and this is behind, then we replace this one by another. So you look in open type features, let's say, this kind of, especially the context change stuff, you loop over the list, you run into a character, and there can be rules like if this sits in front, can be any number, if this sits at the end or not, then this rule needs to be applied. So it's a sort of you run over the list with a sort of window basically, and the window can change per rule, and then you make a decision. And decisions are like I replace one character by one character, or one character by many characters, or many characters by one character, which is the ligature, for instance. Yeah. So there can be any of those combinations.
Look at the meaning of a word where you would ordinarily replace a certain character pair by something else, but because it is this specific word, one doesn't.
It has to be part of the rule. There are a couple of them in the rule sets. Allah is an example where there is one glyph that can replace the whole bunch of characters that make up the word. And I think there are 3 or 4 of them.
And
they have to be in every font.
Theoretically, it's doable that you write enough rules for each and every word in the language and treat each word separately.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Or the limited number of words.
Okay. So I didn't make a presentation out of it because it's hard to see anyway, and you have it all in the proceedings. I assume that you also will read it if you're interested in that kind of stuff. This is the Latin. Later we will see the Arabic examples. This is it's actually one of these funded Dante projects to make the font that we will see later available to the whole community, so that you can all do these kind of complex thingies. Okay. So we have this Arabic paragraph typeset, and there's a problem. They don't hyphenate, yeah. So there's a problem that it has to fit on the line. And what's one of the problems if it doesn't fit on the line? We get more spacing in between. And if you get more spacing in between, people say it looks ugly. Yeah? So, a bit the same you could think of in Latin script, like German and Dutch, they have long words. Yeah? If you have long words, then there's a bigger chance that you have more spacing between the words than, for instance, English, which has a lot of small, short words. But anyway, think of it like this. You have, and this is, I realized it only later, that this is actually the original idea behind HZ. The original idea of HZ, or let's say the mechanism that's present in PDF Tech and LuaTech, is that you say, I've got an A, I want a wider A to be put there, so that the whole sentence comes slightly betterly, visually out of the machinery. In practice, there are no fonts with several A's or several B's, so we scale them up a bit. Yeah? But in Arabic, we do have the different A's and B's and whatever. Now, how to demonstrate this in Latin? Think of it like this. Say that you don't like the inter-word spacing here. Yeah? Let's say, okay, but I know how to solve it. I use small caps, because small caps are wider than normal characters. Yeah? I put in the small caps and the spacing differs a bit. Yeah? And there can be another thing that you say, maybe you can say, okay, I can use a bold font, and the bold font is also slightly wider or not. Or you can do the same trickery with different font, but here it's done with a small caps. But what we do is the following. Not so much different from HZ actually. You look at this line and you say, okay, it has a certain badness. And badness is tech speak for, well, it doesn't look well. And then you're going to change individual words by others till it starts looking better for tech. Eh? So tech reports another badness. So we can go two directions, yeah, we can make it basically wider or narrower, two things. So here, maybe start at some point, we come here, and we say, okay, we can, if we replace the two, we replace it, we look again at how well the line comes out, say, okay, it's not okay yet, okay, we replace the, not okay yet, but we replace the use, and you stop when it looks okay. And this is, if you think of it from the Arabic point of view, the scribe, yeah, you're writing this stuff down, and you're coming to the end of the sentence. Oh gosh, this is not going right. Mm-hmm. And you start, you know, you adapt your writing a bit till it fits. So to some extent, it's pretty
boundary problem.
Boundary problem. You squeeze it into the line. You cannot do that. A good one can do that at the beginning already, of course. But let's assume that we have average scribes. Yeah. Then it's quite okay if you have a solution where you start at one end, yeah, and basically you start at the end, because that's where the squeezing happens most, and you swap in different things to get a better result. Of course it is a bit, okay, I'm not sure if we would say that this is better because we suddenly see small caps. On the other hand, how many people would notice?
10 minutes.
Hmm?
10 minutes?
Yeah. Okay, so you have, I will just show the examples. Okay, there are some prints in the proceedings of how this kind of stuff is supposed to look. These are extreme ones, yeah. There's also one that you can say, okay, we can, if it doesn't fit. So quite some of the features are like wider variants. So in this case, you can say, okay, there's a wider till it fits. It's one of those legal. I have to go to the page with the colors. Yes, so this is an example of the Arabic. The green, we use the, this is tracing turned on, so green means that the stuff is replaced and that actually it became wider. You see this one, there's no such a white one, so this particular one here could be stretched to quite a limit to make it look better. This probably wouldn't work with Latin, yeah, if you say, I take this A and I make it very wide A. But it's okay for a script. There's also a nice example of this one, yeah? It doesn't look too good on the screen, but you get the picture. So, how does it work? What I do is, you define a feature set, and you apply this feature set to the paragraph. But when we define a font, actually in context, there's something called font goodies. Font goodies is just a Lua file describing additional properties of fonts and rendering. And in the goodies files, you can basically define what I call font solutions. And a font solution says, okay, if I want things to become narrower, for instance, there can be many font solutions. If I want things to be narrower, I should apply these features. If I want things to become wider, I should apply those features. So for this font, there are, I think, two feature sets that make things narrower and four feature sets that make things wider. Of course, you need to have a font that provides, well, let's say, the additional features that do that kind of trickery. In a sense, it could be an interesting experiment for, let's say, Tech Guy Stage 5 to make a variant of, let's say, Palantino, just for fun, where we have, let's say, five alternative A's, slightly wider, five alternative E's, slightly wider, yeah, where we have variants of one glyph, alternates basically. And then we could do the same with basically with Latin. So if you have
in Pandela it would Pandela. Be rather hard, but in LM fonts.
LM
fonts it's
yeah okay because LM and LM yeah. LMs is easier to generate to generate them.
Selected variants.
Yeah, so that you have variants, let's say it's a bit like we have the narrow version of monospace.
Yes.
As if you would have several stages in between. Okay, it would defeat monospace, yeah, but we could experiment with monospace. But you can apply it in theory to Latin fonts as well. And then you would have, I think, the ultimate HZ, because HZ was originally meant for swapping in, you know, the Gutenberg approach for swapping in different glyphs. There are no fonts like that, but we could do it. So this is, that's one drawback, of course. Okay, the title had to do with part builder. This hooks into the part builder.
And such things can be done in math too? Some sizes of symbols?
Yeah, actually it should be doable in math. Yeah, why not? The thing is, you know, it's just re-rendering the stuff and see what happens. So the reason why this goes under the title of part builder is that this hooks into the part builder. The paragraph is built already, and then you hook an additional mechanism into the part builder that starts swapping these clips. It's slow, of course. You type to the paragraph. Tech can do that pretty fast, but if you have, let's say, 50 features to be applied to a paragraph, and you have to retypeset it, then it starts getting slower if you have to do this several times. Also, in order to do that, before we run the paragraph, we should identify the words, keep track of what the original input is, in order to be able to generate the new output, because there's actually, as you saw in all these changes, the input no longer reflects the output, so you have to really start new. Let's say five characters in the input, if they become three characters in the output, and you want to redo the paragraph, you really have to start with the five characters again and not with the three. So that's why it's a little bit demanding. This runs about, I think, 5 to 10 times slower than a regular paragraph of text. But nevertheless, if you want to get that kind of high-end output, it's probably the only solution. Am I within my 10 minutes?
Yeah, perfectly. I have two.
Two.
Yeah.
but I don't have much more to tell.
I'm not questions.
I can delegate the questions to Idris. Yeah.
Are those goody files documented somewhere? What can go into a goody file?
To some extent, I'm working on that, yeah. You know how it is with manuals. I'm actually working on a manual, a special font manual, where all this kind of stuff is. I have to pick up that thread again. I'm a bit busy with other things, but I will. I work on a dedicated memory of all these font things. Yeah.
More than security define.
There isn't who signed it. If you look at the LFG files, yeah, you will probably find most of the things that are possible in there. And this is in the who signed file. This kind of thing. For instance, I also use the goodies file sometimes for mathematical things. Yeah. Overloading
ideas to you're able to enhance an F-type font without the necessity to change the font itself.
Right.
So
yeah.
You could define your own features and
I must say I seldom use it for new features, but for instance I do use it for overloading mask parameters, for instance.
Okay.
Because sometimes those are, I think there's a problem in Asana, if there's a bug there, yeah.
One problem in Asana?
Well, at least one problem in Asana. And I think we also have an overload for one of the things in Cambria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that's then the place where I can overload stuff,
mm-hmm.
indeed without touching the font. Yeah. And that's also the idea of this. Of course, you could probably do things by...
Theoretically, you could insert new features there.
Yeah, if you want. But I think the normal way for really new features, in the term for features, is... These additional files, the VA files, yeah.
Yeah.
That's also.
By overloading, you mean redefining, rather.
No, you can. Yeah, redefine different value or whatever.
Overloading in computer science means attaching different meanings.
Okay. But this
is having two different meanings.
This is
depending
on
the context.
This is not computer.
Different meanings. It's different values, rather.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but this is not computer science, is it?
Or it is.
Yes.
This, of course, is obviously related to Polish Latin calligraphy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about fonts that use this kind of mechanism for Latin alphabets? Perhaps Safino is
probably you
not far from, but it's not exact.
You could probably do the same things with Safino, but Safino, the rules in Safino are meant for other purposes, yeah.
Yeah, so...
That would be, for Safino it would be trial and error, basically.
Yeah.
You know, because it tries to be different in many aspects, yeah? So the same word different in... And then you would end up with basically randomly generating all the variants and see what ones look better. Well, here you can have certain features like this one. You can say, okay, I want to go wider.
Yeah.
So you definitely know that you only need to do that kind of things.
But you don't know about such calligraphy fonts?
No.
In Latin.
I know that
it's,
they...
It's
that in
pretty natural to try.
I think they're working on it in Poland, in Terkaya 6, stage 6. But you should ask the project leader about that.
Jasko, one reason why this Husseini font, that there are so many different features precisely to enable this.
Mm-hmm.
But most fonts may have a lot of rules, like Safino, but all these rules are within one feature.
Yeah.
And then it's very hard to extract them to get them to do something else. So it really helps
the
font support.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So this is just Volk is not listening anyway, so I can take another minute. That's the nice thing about Lua is I define a couple of tables. Yeah, these are combinations of features. And here you have, for instance, a shrink, and here you have a white. And here I define feature sets. So that's another benefit for me, Johannes, of LFG files, you never know for some fonts what you need to apply.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big missing thing in OpenType is that it doesn't go with the information about what the designer had in mind that should be somehow defined by default. So that's the kind of stuff that can go here. So So you can say, okay, my default feature set is default, and it's one of these. This one. So then we have solutions. Yeah. So this is an example of solution definition. Less, it means it has to apply the feature set tag that shrink. So we have only one actually. And then you have minimal stretching, medium stretching, maximum stretching. And stretching can involve, of course, this, but also a little bit of stacking. And then you have, of course, a problem. But I think it's nowadays possible in OpenType to come with a description. Yeah, you can add a description of a feature. You can put it in.
One of the 1.6 things?
I think you can now put it in the.
Added in 1.6.
Yeah. So, well, there are stylistics features. There are some 55 and justifications some 21. So there are some 76 additional features in this font. On top of the regular ones. So here you can at least give them a proper name so that you know what you're talking about. Okay, I still don't know what it means, but if you look at the descriptions you can a bit see what happens. Yeah. The thing is, if you, and that's another thing with OpenType, I would say, if once you have such a set of definitions and basically the features, it should be possible to make another font. It only has to provide all the right glyphs, and you can apply the same logic. For some reason, this is not really happening, I think, that you can say, maybe to some extent, maybe for the basic ligatures of maybe, let's say, within Adobe, they have a couple of standard feature sets they can apply to each font when they make a new one.
Yeah, prototype always has the same feature set and the same glyph setup for all the letters.
Yeah. So within
they all have exactly the same glyphs, and I think it's 304 or so, and the exact same feature set.
So within Type Foundries, but this is, if we were talking about Mars recently, we should basically think about the same thing. If we all want one nicely defined basic feature set, at least then we have a starting point. But okay, in theory you could make an. This is another thing of font GUI files. Yeah, we can have color schemes. For that's handy for tracing. So you can say, okay, these characters need to get this color, that characters need to get that color. It's not used in these examples. Okay, Volker.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Yes, on the line level.
And the second, what do you get if you optimize the parameters, the word, then what do you get if you export it back to text or PDF?
That's not a problem, because in this kind of font, if you have one character that represents three others, yeah, then there is in the to Unicode table in the font, there's a relationship between this slot of in the font, yeah, which is not necessarily a Unicode slot, just an index in the font. And it has the associated three original tags in there. Normally, if everything is all right, you should be able to cut and paste.